Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont. And Yuri, I know you're a bit pressed for time. You've got a flight to catch. You're coming home finally. So I'll kind of speed it along here. It was an interesting weekend in Barcelona. KTM winners again with Miguel Oliveira. But the big talking point was Fabio Quartararo and the problem with his race suit and the ensuing penalties that came with that. So give us your thoughts on the Quartararo incident.
What was more surprising to me was the penalty he got afterwards. No sense to give him this 3 seconds penalty. First one is that he didn't do it in purpose. It was not, the letters were not open. We seen that there was this piece that theoretically blocks the zip going down. And the problem was that the zip was inside. But I don't see any reason to give him this penalty. But at the same time, I think that what Marshall should have done is to show him the black and orange flag. So there's no point, in my opinion, to give him this penalty after the race, because they had 4 laps to show them the flag.
It's essentially race direction is saying that an issue like that, a safety issue, is only worth 3 seconds of penalty, which is wrong because, you know, Fabio didn't. I don't think Fabio put anyone in danger with continuing racing, but he put himself in danger, and that's obviously not great. But the regulations say that a rider has to have their race kit fastened at all times during track activity, but it doesn't, in the rules, it doesn't specify what penalty there is. It doesn't say that if your race suit comes open, you have to stop. And this is the problem. Race direction should have taken the decision out of Fabio's hands, because like any racer, he continued, and a lot of riders said the same thing. They would have done the same thing. So the issue, I think, yes, you can blame Fabio, but I think also he is a bit of a victim in this situation of a grey area in the rules.
It's not a matter of penalties. It's not a matter of sanctions. It's not a matter of guilties. It's a matter of do the right thing. And the right thing was stopping him, but during the race, because there was no intention from his side to do this. So, in my opinion, it's not a matter of if 3 seconds is too much or the penalty is too, you know, soft. It's a matter of they are there to do the right things. And the right thing was to show him the flag. So he would have fixed the zip and keep going, losing, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 seconds, but not giving him a penalty afterwards. I mean, what's the point? I mean, a penalty, you give the penalty because you do something wrong, conscious. You have the intention to do that, which it was not this case.
And you can argue as well the fact that he had this problem, you know, it stopped him from fighting for the win. Ultimately, it dropped him out of the podium battle. He had a penalty for cutting the track. You can argue that he'd already been penalised enough. So it seems like race direction's decision was one that was based on, to me, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but it seems that race direction sort of felt pressured into giving out a penalty.
Yeah, I think they felt pressure for all the teams. In the end, again, they need to do their job on time. That's what they are there for.
It's clear that this rule needs, it was an unusual incident. We've never really seen it before, but it's clear this rule needs looked at, because the current wording, and I have it in front of me here, the current wording says the equipment must be worn, correctly fastened at all times during on-track activity. Now, you know, we've seen before during, we've seen riders unzip the after races, we've seen them unzip the leathers. We saw Scott Redding a couple of years ago completely take all of his gear off after the Valencia race. Now, yes, that wasn't during the race, but it's still technically on-track activity. But that wasn't punished. So, you know, there's no precedence been set, if you get what I mean. It's clear that this rule it's not clear.
Well, the problem is that it was a very unusual situation. In my opinion, the main problem was that race direction was very late. because they had four laps to fix. So now, with this 3 seconds penalty, nobody is happy. Not even Fabio, and not even the ones that think that he should have been disqualified, you know? So that proves that it was a wrong decision.
Agreed. We'll move on to KTM. We saw in Mugello, they brought this new chassis. They have the new fuel supplier, and it showed that there was a big step forward. Miguel Oliveira was on the podium, and he took that step further at the weekend with victory. And it was, you have to say, you know, it was a great, great performance from Miguel, but it was a little bit unexpected. We thought Fabio would dominate the race, but Miguel came forward. He didn't dominate, but he was very much in control. And it looks like KTM now really are back on form.
Yeah, I think that the Yamaha riders struggled a bit on Sunday morning. I mean, Sunday afternoon, because of the track. They felt no grip on track. And even Morbidelli felt really good during the practice sessions, and he was nowhere during the race. So Maverick was being there, but not getting close, but still not being able to fight on front. And Fabio, if we have a look at his performance during the practices, it was he was very, very, very superior. He was very dominant. So much more than we've seen on Sunday. So Oliveira was fast over the weekend, but I have to admit that I wasn't expecting him to fight for the win. And yeah, he was brilliant. I would have loved to see Fabio without this problem. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah, but it looked like in those before Fabio had the problem that he just didn't quite have the tire performance at the end. They went different ways with the front tire. Miguel was on the hard front, Fabio was on the medium, and it looks like Fabio maybe just worked his tires a bit too much because he had to do a lot more work at the start of the race than he would have anticipated.
Yeah, again, he didn't have the best start. So, as you say, he had to work quite hard at the beginning of the race. He was so patient, but by overtaking people, you overheat the tires. And then, you put the tires on crisis. And then, you, of course, you can feel that at the end of the race.
For sure. You mentioned Maverick there. It was an interesting weekend for Maverick because we came into it with his third, the announcement that he was on his third crew chief, Silvano Galbisera's been brought in to replace.
That's the word, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Silvano Galbisera's been brought in to replace Esteban Garcia. This is Maverick's third crew chief in his 5 years at Yamaha. Of course, Galbisera, formerly Rossi's crew chief. And it's interesting because the first point is that Garcia was brought in under Maverick's insistence. The relationship with Ramon Forcada broke down and Vinales said to Yamaha, look, Esteban's the guy I need. But that issue, over the start of this season, Maverick struggled and he claims Yamaha have taken the decision to replace him. But I know there's been some rumours that Maverick instigated it, Garcia instigated it. There's been all sorts of rumours. First of all, what's your sort of take on it, because it's an interesting development.
It is much easier for them to say that it's a team's decision than to say that it's Maverick's decision. But in the end, again, I'm starting to think that we've spoken a lot about that, and I think that in the end, when you have to do so many changes, maybe the problems are not outside.
Yeah, Maverick was quite happy with the way things went over the weekend, and to be fair to Maverick, his pace in the race was quite good. He got stuck behind someone. He couldn't overtake Joan Mir for quite a long time, and he got kind of stuck with Brad Binder for a little bit as well. So maybe things could have been a bit different in the race, but like you say, it's really hard to sort of understand where Maverick truly is, because he says one thing one week and then the next weekend, you know, it's I guess with the crew, change in crew chief, there's no excuse anymore. This is it. Maverick has to show that it worked.
Well, but we've seen that in the past many times, and I think that they are doing things different, but in the end the outcome is almost the same. And in terms of performance, not only on Sunday, but especially during the practice sessions. So I don't know. And even when they speak, Maverick looks a bit lost. He's sad when he's supposed to be happy, and then he's super happy when I don't understand why he is so happy. So it's a bit difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Another kind of interesting thing that came from last weekend was Suzuki and Juan Mir on Saturday. Juan said that he didn't think Suzuki has improved at all in 2021 with the 2021 bike. He doesn't feel like enough of a step's been made. He doesn't feel that the factory is doing enough to bring developments, which is quite an interesting comment because, you know, there's not a lot of difference between this year and last year's bike, but it's not been a great... It's been an okay start to the season for Suzuki, but it's not been great.
Yeah, but it's not what we have to expect from the champions. So,
yeah.
And in the end, I think that Suzuki has, let's say, slept a bit, as you know. And then they had the problem with the departure of Davide Brivio, and I think they need a bit of drive at the moment. Because but that's my opinion. I think there's a bit of a disconnection, a cut between the Japanese side, the factory, and the European part of the team. So I think that they need to try to, speed up a bit. And I mean, it's not normal that a guy like Juan, a rider like Juan, makes this kind of statement. So it's very unusual. So if he has done it, it's because he is starting to be a bit, let's say, uncomfortable with this situation.
Yeah, well, it's interesting the point you make there, that there seems to be a bit more of a divide between the race team and Japan. That was where Davide Brivio was instrumental, and he was good at unifying both sides. He was the go-between, you know, if the race team had a request, he would take it to Japan, and he was very good at working at both angles. That seems to be the biggest thing they've lost this year. It doesn't seem like this management committee they've got is as good at that particular point.
Yeah, but well, in this particular say, in this particular point, I wouldn't say that Alpine is going any better than Suzuki, but I mean, it's just the way the team works at the moment. I think with Davide Brivio, we all had this kind of person there, you know. Now you have Sahara, but Sahara in the end is not the one, is not the ideal guy dealing with all the politics, all the background going on in the championship. So that's what I mean.
I'll speed along here. I just want to talk about Honda because Mark said he had a race, the best seven laps of the year before he crashed out. But the atmosphere within Honda just doesn't seem to be improving. Paul Espargaro was really negative about the bike. Alex Marquez is struggling. You know, Paul said he actually compared his first year to Honda to his early years with KTM. It just doesn't... They just seem lost at the moment. And there was talk at the weekend that if they don't get a podium this year, they will get concessions back. Marquez is convinced that won't happen. But there's not really been any evidence to suggest that they will get a podium.
Yeah, and the worst is that maybe... I know that they are all competitors, and especially Mark, no? But in the end, maybe it is not worth it to get this podium. Because what's one podium for Honda? Yeah, it's one podium. But then you have the chance to rebuild the bike from scratch. Maybe it's much better than to score a podium.
Yeah, well, because it's not just rebuilding the bike. It means if they have concessions, they can continually develop the engine, which we know is the big issue at the moment. It's
and not only that, is that Mark will be able to test and test and test. So
yeah.
He will be able to get feed again.
So do you think then, and this is obviously purely speculation, but do you think there's been a conversation within Honda? They've said that, look, if there is a podium opportunity, consider not taking it if you can't win the race, because
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is not the Honda's DNA. But again, if Honda is in this situation with two races to go, maybe they will consider, because I don't see Honda winning a race by, you know, well, yeah, we can have another race like Qatar, but it wouldn't be normal. You know, so I think that they will be closer first, then more close, and then they will be able to score a podium, and after that, to fight for the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if there's any possibility of a podium happening in there, any race coming up, I think it's probably Germany.
Yeah, probably.
For Marquez. I think on that note, Yuri, we'll wrap up there. Thank you very much for your company, as usual, and safe travels home.
Thank you very much. Yeah, finally.
Fine.
I'm going home. I'm coming home. Well, at least,
like, yeah, so we can podcast at normal times,
yes,
as of next week.
Exactly.
Perfect, mate. Cheers. And thank you to the listeners. Of course, if you enjoyed what you heard, you can go listen to all of our other podcasts. And of course, keep up to date with everything MotoGP on Autosport and motorsport.com. But until the next time, it is a very warm goodbye, and keep looking after yourselves.